a huge adder uncoiled itself and slithered very, very slowly into the bracken. And I'm terrified of snakes.
Welcome to the second series of the Kintyre Way podcast. In the previous series, my blind dog Jed and I walked the Kintyre Way and spoke to people along the route. In these episodes, we're branching out a little to speak to interesting people or visit interesting places in the area. In this episode, I speak to Rupert Williams, an experienced long-distance walker who tackled the Kintyre Way in the summer of 2023. This podcast has been made possible thanks to a contribution from our wonderful Beach Clean group through Grab Argyle funding. Friends of the Kintyre Way ensure beach sections of our long distance route are kept clean and clear of plastic or rubbish, remaining wild and beautiful for everyone. If you would like to help, get in touch via thekintyreway@gmail.com.
So I did the walk first week of July, 2023. I really like these kind of long distance waymarked routes. I tend to do them about twice a year because I get big chunks of holiday in summertime and wintertime. And I've done a few others in Scotland and down in England. And the Kintyre Way was always, I always knew about it because I knew Kintyre from surfing down at Westport and things. And my mum moved down there a couple of years ago, retired down there to Pinever. So I'd been down a few times to see her, and I was going to go and visit her anyway. And I was sort of looking for a walk to do in the holiday, and you know that meant Kintyre Way. So that it was one of those ones that I'd heard about years ago, and it'd been on my mind. And it's, I think, like a lot of these walks, it can stay on your mind for a long time. But just having the excuse, I guess, that my mum was there, and that was a good enough excuse just to get planning and get going.
Can we talk logistics? How did you do it? Where did you stay?
Yeah, I did it sort of the masochistic way, which is just doing it. I think it was, I want to say 6 days. So it was every day walking, just going by the guidebook, you know, the sections as they are. As you know, some of them are you know, reasonable, kind of 10, 11 miles, but others are a bit longer, especially deeper into the walk. So I did it, I think it was 6 days, if that sounds right, just walking every day.
There are two relatively short sections that you can double up. So you may have done, it's the first, oh God, I should know this off the top of my head. I think it's the first two or the
I think it was the second two that I doubled up.
Yeah.
So it was 6 days and I had to travel booked. So there wasn't really any getting out of it. You know, I had to do the miles each day. So, but which is part of the enjoyment for me. You know, I enjoy that physical aspect of it. So I did it that way, which is obviously all day walking every day, and then just carrying the tent with me. So I stayed in the tent every night, bar one night, the Campbelltown stay. You know, mum was closed, so I stayed with my mum that night. But every other night, just pitching the tent somewhere lovely, which was great.
How did you find that? Was that okay? Did you have any problem finding places to camp? Was it all fairly straightforward?
No, it was really straightforward. And in fact, that's compared to some of the other routes where, you know, if you're wild camping, it's, you know, you have to be discreet, you have to be away from places. So sometimes that's more difficult. But all along the Kintyre Way, it was amazing. And that was one of the highlights of the walk for me, because every night that I camped, I was on the coast. I was either on the east or the west coast. So I was getting, you know, incredible sunrises and or incredible sunsets. And yeah, that's a brilliant part of these walks when you can do that.
That's amazing. And were you took all your food and pretty much everything, or did you stop at your mum's in the middle to restock? And
middle-ish. As you know, Pinever is quite far down. So I was trying to be self-sufficient as much as I could. I guess that's one issue that I hadn't really thought too much about, because there's not that many places en route to stock up. I knew that the co-op at Tarbert was pretty much the biggest place up that end, so I stocked up for a good few days in Tarbert. And then, is it the Clachan petrol station?
There's a filling station. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which is quite good. So just places like that, just stocking up. I don't remember ever running out of food or anything, but it was, you had to plan that a little bit. Just when there was something, whether it was a filling station or a co-op, you just had to kind of stock up and be sort of quite stingy with the rations until you knew you were close to somewhere else.
Any highlights? What would be your favorite things that you saw or did?
Yeah, I mean, I knew you were going to ask that question because you said it. I was thinking of something, and I couldn't think of one thing. I could think of lots of things.
That's fine. Lots of things is great.
And I know it's a bit cheesy to say the whole thing, but it was, you know, I really liked the logistics of it. So for me, I live in Dundee normally. So, I had to come across on the bus, which is a bit of an adventure, you know, coming up the Rest and Be Thankful and then getting dropped off at Tarbert. And then, you know, getting that really good sense of the Mull, the way you're zigzagging across it, you know, that's what walking's about, is going places where you can't go on a bus or in a car, or and just feeling what the Mull of Kintyre is. And it's, you know, I've driven down the West Coast so many times, you know, to go surfing and things, and you don't really get how big and how rugged it is in that interior, all those valleys and all those hills. And it's so just feeling that, I love that, and on all these long walks, feeling that in the feet and in the legs, getting the sense of the Mull and getting that real island feel. It does feel like an island down there, especially when you're crisscrossing from coast to coast. And then there was a sort of a weird highlight in the middle, but then the kind of coming towards the end, I think my favorite section by far was just that last section from Southend, you know, round the Mull into Macrahanish. I was blessed with such a nice sunny day, and that section along the west coast with all the little bays, and that was really, really magical. After a day of rain the night before, you know, when it does clear at that time of year, and you know all your stuff dries up and you warm up, and it was really, really nice coming into Macrahanish and going for a nice swim at the beach, and
and perfect.
giving the feet a bit of a rest after quite a bruising 6 days on the road. You know, for me, just coming, not living down there, the logistics were kind of fun to organize the bus coming in, and then did the walk, and then I took the Loganair flight back to Glasgow. So I'd kind of timed it to finish on that day, and you know, as you know, Campbelltown Airport's not very far from Macrahanish. I did get a lift because, you know, my mum lives down there, but it, you know, it could have been worked into the walk, I'm sure. And it was, again, it was a lovely, clear, sunny day. And that flight is really, really unique, you know, very Scottish kind of flight, with the pilots kind of acting as the baggage handlers as well. And I think there was three people on the flight going back, and just kind of taking off and literally, you know, flying over Loch Lassa, seeing down to Carradale, and just, you know, reflecting on the last 6 days, looking down on it was a really, really special moment, really nice way to sort of end the walk. And then feeling really sort of spaced out when you get into Glasgow city centre within 20 minutes. But it was just a really nice end to a really nice 6 days of walking. So as I mentioned, that it wasn't kind of one thing, I think, that stuck out, but it was just all those little things that added up to the whole thing really being a highlight.
Well, let's talk weather. You've touched on it a little bit there. So you had a beautiful day for the end, which is good, because that zigzagging down out of Lagibán is a bit frightening if it's misty. So good weather's great for that bit, and a bit of rain. What was your weather experience?
Yeah, no, it's like I said earlier, with the sunrise and sunset. So so every day bar one was a good Scottish summer. You know, there was no midges, there was a nice breeze, and it was sunny and cloudy a little bit, so not too much, you know, sunburn. Bar one day, it was the day Tain Lone to Carradale. And it was forecast. It was on the forecast. I'd seen it about mid-afternoon. A real storm came in. I don't know if you remember it, Ellen. It was, you know, it was the first week of July, and it was a bit of a freak because it was really, really strong winds. It was coming from the east. It was really torrential rain and really, really strong winds. So it was horizontal rain, and it's, you know, you'll probably think this is silly because you know the area very well. But when you come in on that route into Carradale, I found it a little bit confusing in terms of where Carradale was. You know, I was drenched. I was soaked to the bone. So I had vague thoughts of guest house and B&B and that type of thing. So I was heading for the village, and I couldn't figure out where the village was. So I went to the wrong bit, and I ended up down at the campsite. And it was really, really, I was very, you know, soaked, and starting to think about where I would pitch the tent. And, you know, you're not really in the mood for pitching a tent in that type of weather. So I went knocking in Carradale, I knocked on the door of a guest house, and they answered and they said, sorry, there's no vacancies. So I went into the pub and had a pint and had I think two or three bags of crisps, because that was all they had. Yeah. While the rain was splattering against the window. So I had a really, really good chat with the, I can't remember his name, but it was a really, really nice guy who was
John,
working at the bar.
It would have, was it a young fella?
I think it was the son, yeah.
Dante. Or it'll either be Dante or Hamish.
Hamish, yeah.
Right, so Hamish you had it.
I'm speaking to you from China right now. I'm working in China at the moment, and then my partner's Chinese. I've got a lot of connections with China, and randomly in Carradale, sipping my pint, wondering where to pitch my tent. I strike up this conversation about China with Hamish, who's really interested in China too. So that was kind of one of the other highlights almost of the trip, that it was this, these kind of random encounters happen on these sorts of walks, and we had a really nice chat about just stuff that we were interested in. But the rain, that wasn't going to stop the rain, as interesting as it was. So I went outside again, and it was I think I was quite buoyed by the pint and no rations, and just went to, I found a sort of big oak tree in the grounds of that house and just pitched the tent there. I thought probably no one was going to come out, it was such a horrible night, that I'd be fine just for the evening. So ended up just pitching the tent there and sort of just lying down sort of in corpse pose, and sort of all the steam was coming off me in this tiny little tent, and just closing my eyes and just hoping for sleep, which did come very quickly. And then, but then woke up the next morning. And again, it was a really lovely morning. It was one of those ones where it cleared, stilled down to nothing. My mum came to meet me in Carradale, and we went for a walk up to that really nice tea room that's on the route in Torresdale?
Torresdale, yeah, lovely with the gang.
Really nice. So after that night, which was fine, it was warm, it was just a bit wet, it was really nice to go in there and have like a really nice cup of coffee and just rejuvenate. So that was the only evening of bad weather. Every single other day it was sunny, and as I said, it was a bit of a breeze, so there was no midge issue either. So it was great. I was really lucky with the weather.
Do you have music on while you walk, or podcasts, or are you just in nature?
Yeah, no, I don't use podcasts. No, I think especially when you're wild camping, you've got to kind of preserve your mobile phone battery.
So
things like that, you just feel like it's going to wear it down.
That brings us on to tips for other people. So have you got any words of wisdom for other people? Conserve your phone battery.
Yeah, conserve your phone battery. And everyone except me seems to have those charging block things that, if it does run out, you can just charge it up. I don't have any of that type of stuff. I guess it just depends how you're doing it. If you're doing it like I was doing it, then, you're kind of doing it for the adventure. So, the unplanned things are the adventure. So there's not too much you need to worry about, I don't think, because you're always very close to a road. You're not too far from mobile phone signal. There's nothing major to worry about. So I'd say just, take the things you need for an overnight camp if you're camping, and just, as I said earlier, think about the supplies, just stock up whenever you can, because there's not that many places on route to stock up. So carry supplies. I guess waterproofs is always sensible too. This might be a weird story, but it's just I was just near Loch Lusser coming down, and as you said, that really long section into Campbelltown from Carradale, and it was lovely day, having a really nice walk, and I was just going to take a break, about to sit down, and as I did so, a huge adder uncoiled itself and slithered very, very slowly into the bracken. And I'm terrified of snakes. I'm one of those people who just really doesn't like snakes.
Yeah.
But when I see them, I'm it's fine. It's just the idea of snakes I don't like.
Right.
So this was, I do quite a lot of walking and camping and stuff in Scotland, but I'd never seen a snake of this size. It was about a meter long, and I'm quite thin, but about as thick as my arm. It was a real snake. It wasn't one of these little wormy things. And it just changed my view of the Scottish landscape, in terms of, I didn't know snakes like that existed in Scotland. It was a big snake, adders are poisonous. you know, completely, you know, they're not going to touch you, but they are poisonous. That was quite a nice moment to see that, you know, just doing its thing and not having any interest in me whatsoever, but slithering very, very slowly away into the bracken. So yeah, just something to look out for on the way is the adders, especially around Loch Lasse.
Yeah, gosh, that's a very good tip.
Careful where you sit.
Yes.
I did enjoy having the guidebook. So, you know, it's quite difficult to get lost, I think. Yeah. You know, you've got really, really good markers the whole way. So as long as you're just looking out for those lovely blue, I really like the blue color because they stick out in the landscape pretty nicely. Mm. As long as you're just, you know, conscious of that and aware that they're there, you don't really need a map. But I think the guidebook is just nice to kind of get, you know, get your... You can sense where you are. It gives you a bit of local information. So yeah, the guidebook is always nice to take along with you.
You're the first person I've spoken to for this who camped throughout. So that's really good to hear that it works and it's relatively easy weather notwithstanding.
I mean, when you're wild camping, you're always kind of scouting. You sort of look at the land in a different way. You're always sort of scouting out places. Even during the day, sometimes you're thinking, oh, this would not be a good place, or this would be a good place, you know. And, you know, so many parts along the way that were, as I said, it's really good. There's almost nowhere I can think of off the top of my head that you couldn't, you know, wild camp just for an evening. So yeah, it's really, really geared up, I'd say, for camping, if that's what you're into.
Thank you so much, Rupert Williams, for speaking to me. For further information about the Kintyre Way, go to thekintyreway.com. Music for the podcast is by Strange Crazy.